it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip, but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, it's the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are once again live here on the Tuesday nights. The Crave Wrestling fans, Pancakes and Power Slams, we are once again 94 episodes, ladies and gentlemen. We are here live, and we are 6 episodes away from our 100th episode, our special 100th edition. Got some amazing things in store for you for the 100th edition, and so be sure to stay tuned. And I cannot go any further without introducing the Pancakes and Power Slams co-host, Derek.
Hey, it's me, the Pancakes and Power Slams host, Derek, here live and in living color. I didn't want to start that. Doggone it, why did I
say that? Live and living color, getting funky like a monkey if you will.
Wheel?
Here's the
Dusty
reference.
We're going on tonight. 94 episodes. This is 94. If this was years, you'd be 94 years old. Because Pancakes and Power Slams is that great. You'll be listening to us when you currently are 94 years old, Mr. John Q and Mrs. Q Public. So please stay tuned. This is nonstop wrestling action for an hour and a half, 90 minutes. It's not enough time. We could go on until the cows come home. Do people say that anymore? Probably not. Maybe where I come from. But that's the way it is. Pancakes and Power Slams Tuesday night.
I think that they may say it, but not on Earth.
But they shouldn't.
Not on Earth. Yeah, I don't think
on Earth. Okay, well, somewhere on Mars.
To the cows come home. And
from parts unknown.
We'll get to that, actually. We'll get to the power of the warrior being the Hall of Fame inductee and how we feel about that. And send your Raw tweets, send your SmackDown tweets. Crave Wrestling, follow at Crave Wrestling, and send your tweets at Crave Wrestling to be said live on air. Appropriately, we will say it live on air if we have enough time. But it's all about interacting with the fans, with the listeners. Thank you so much. Again, every week, just continue to have a great amount of listeners and just have some fun and enjoying this, the Pancakes and Power Slams, 94 episodes in. So as we do every week and as we specialize in so much, we will go to trivia. And, of course, Derek, you cannot say it unless people in the chat room or,
no, sir,
or Twitter. The Facebook page, the administration has the Facebook page up live right now, too, so go on Facebook as well. The question is, name two other gimmicks Rikishi had in the WWE. Rikishi had in the WWE. We'll get to you soon if people don't answer it correctly. So let's get to Raw. Without further ado, let's get to Raw. Raw was pretty interesting this week. We first start off with the Usos defeating Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt by disqualification. Due to interference from Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, and Usos managed to escape, and then Bray Wyatt gives Daniel Bryan his sister Abigail, and they walk out together. So I was really hoping that we just – this was ending, because I really didn't want it to go any further. And we'll talk about what happened at the end of the show, but I was happy that we saw more dissension between Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryant is what I called him while he was in the Wyatt family, Daniel Bryant. And I was happy that we saw more dissension. I was hoping for a breakup. We got it much sooner than I thought. We'll talk about that later. But it was good seeds being planted in the beginning of Raw to kind of forecast what we saw at the end of the show.
It doesn't make sense. The Wyatts are such a disappointment, and for Daniel Bryan to be a part of them is a disappointment for him. What is he thinking? It's just absolute. It's miserable to watch that. That was a horrible way to start off Monday Night Raw. I feel sorry for Daniel Bryan. And the Wyatts just continue to just make me fall asleep almost. It's outplayed itself. It's done. If you can revive that mess, good for you. I hope you can. There's a lot. Their build-up is phenomenal. Their music is great. When they're in the ring, nothing. And just to put Daniel Bryan in, it's awkward. It is just so awkward to see him there. Back to you, Chris.
Yeah, I think that I think it was bad. I think it was a bad idea to even have him be a member of the Wyatt family. I know that they were just stalling time. I understand that they were just stalling time just to get, eventually see what we saw at the end of the show. But just to start off, it just wasn't the best idea. Seeds were being planted. Like I said, I was hoping that we saw more. And just real quick, I do have to say this online. Stephanie McMahon did confirm. We just got some breaking news here. Stephanie McMahon did confirm that Hall of Famer Mae Young has passed away. So. 90 years old, and she hung out, she fought for 90 years, and so kudos to, our thoughts and prayers, and we'll go to the family of Mae Young. 90 years old, and just to think that in her 70s she was getting powerbombed by Bubba Ray Dudley off the stage into a table. So, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, to take bumps at 70, over 70 years old. That was what, 2000, about 2000. So she was, I think they were talking about, she was 77 years old when she was taking bumps from Bubba Ray Dudley. So, absolutely amazing. To take bumps that old. So, Mae Young, you've done us proud, and we definitely just send you the well wishes, rest in peace, and your family, and we definitely here at Pancakes and Power Slams, we believe that you deserve a moment of silence, and so we're going to give that to you right now. All right, Mae Young, our thoughts and our prayers are with the Mae Young family.
I got a few words from Mae Young. If I can say, and it was funny because here in a local radio show, they mentioned that a couple days ago that she was pretty ill she was on her deathbed. And they also brought up the Dudley boys when they slammed her through the table. A lot of that has gone so far in people's minds of professional wrestling with Mae Young. God rest her soul. She was tough. And the whole thing with Mark Henry and that they had, it's just she didn't bat an eye. it was so outside of your typical 70-year-old female. I'm sorry, but in the wrestling world, she just totally took it to the limit. I mean, she was an absolute phenomenal star. Wonderful. That's all I got to say. She was just an absolute angel.
Fantastic. Yeah, couldn't say it better myself. The best wishes to the family of Mae Young. And I know this is tough for the family, but just know, I mean, hey, you know, 90 years old and toughing it out for 90 years, you know, and still for most of that time just being in, you know, healthy, you know, shape. And like I said, taking bumps at, you know, almost 80 years old. Just
she knew the wrestling business.
And,
that's it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
she was wrestling.
You know, she was involved. Just imagine, you know, she was 90 years old, and she was on WWE TV last year. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it was upwards of 70 years that she was, you know, in the wrestling business. So she's been in the wrestling business longer than the age of Vince McMahon. So that goes to show how much. Yeah, yeah. Well, Vince McMahon is older than Ric Flair is by, like, I think 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But it's great to talk about lives such as Mae Young, because someone to live for 90 years old and to be in. And in decent shape, you know, for a very long part of that 90 years, is definitely commendable. So, well wishes to the family, thoughts and prayers for strength and peace in this tough time. So, kudos to Mae Young. May you rest in peace. All right, let's go to the next segment of the show. John Cena defeats Damian Sandow. It was another good match between them two. The Money in the Bank cash-in match was a lot better, but I'll tell you what, Cena and Sandow, they could have had a good feud going on, but they decided to, you know, unify the titles and just to take away any type of hope for a rising mid-card star to be a world champ anytime soon. They could have really pushed Damian Sandow and made him world champ, but now he's just going to have to job to the almighty John Cena, and continue to job to other people too, because Damian Sandow he doesn't have much worth at all now.
No, he doesn't. I mean, Cena just totally, he stole the show last night. Now, Sandow, he can carry a match, but as far as mid-card goes, I don't know if he can get beyond that. No way. That's too bad. I like Sandow's gimmick. I want to continue seeing Sandow, but John Cena, he still has the it factor, and no matter what match he's in, he's always going to be he's always going to look better. And that's it. Sandow, sorry. Money in the Bank, totally blew that one. The booking did, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm getting a bunch of tweets here on the Crave Wrestling, at Crave Wrestling, about RIP Mae Young. Definitely are getting that right now. Got a question here. Does Brian's concussion change your opinion on the Rumble or WrestleMania 30 main event? Great question. And for those who don't know, Daniel Bryan did get a reported concussion on Raw during the main event. And it has yet to be determined as far as, you know, if it's mild or severe, and if he would, you know, has to sit out, you know, for at least the Royal Rumble, and maybe even longer. Here's my thing. I really wanted Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble, but from Daniel Bryan breaking up from the Riott family at the end of Raw, and we'll talk about that, but basically they were rumored to have a match between Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt at the Royal Rumble. Honestly, if they were going to book him that way, he really didn't need to be on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view if they're going to book him to just win against Bray Wyatt. I really don't see any point of that. So I really think if they didn't have him be in the Royal Rumble and win the Royal Rumble, it really didn't place any type of – it really doesn't hurt if he's out of the Royal Rumble. If he was only booked to go against Bray Wyatt, whether win or lose, this feud has gone too long. I mean, it hasn't been that long, but it's been too long, even though it hasn't been that long. And it's just really kind of – it's kind of putting a damper to the momentum of Daniel Bryan. And we'll, like I said, we'll talk at the end of the at the end of this show as far as just that ovation that Daniel Bryan had when he turned against Bray Wyatt. But if the WWE was not going to use that steam that he and that momentum that he built at the end of Raw, I mean, they could have struck gold with that. If they weren't going to use that to have Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble, there's absolutely nothing else that really means much of anything for Daniel Bryan. So hopefully it's only a mild concussion. You know, there's two more. There's about a week and a half left before the Royal Rumble. So hopefully, and another thing, what is going on with the WWE these days? Dolph Ziggler suffered a concussion last week. This week is Daniel Bryan. Yikes. I mean, this is the second concussion, you know, of the year in 1 year's time that Dolph Ziggler suffered. So, I mean, yikes. These concussions are no good. I'm sure Christopher Nowinski would agree with that. He had a career-ending concussion, so did Bret Hart. And so, I don't know. I mean, these concussions are no good. But hopefully Daniel Bryan is a mild concussion, and we'll see him at the Royal Rumble. But like I said, if he was the Royal Rumble just for the purposes of defeating Bray Wyatt, no point. He needed to be in the Royal Rumble. He needed to win the Royal Rumble for this momentum to work. As far as WrestleMania is concerned, I'm not liking – see, again, I really hope it's only a mild concussion, because if it's a severe concussion, I can see him being out for a couple months, and I can see them picking back the feud with Bray Wyatt, and we seeing a Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt match at WrestleMania, which I absolutely do not want to see. They need to utilize Bray Wyatt. They need to utilize Daniel Bryan much better and stop holding him back.
You know, hold back Daniel Bryan. People with concussions, I mean, I don't know what to think of. You hear all that in the NFL now. Oh, he's got a concussion, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like back in the day, concussions didn't really – you had a concussion, but then you got up the next day and went to work. And, you know, now they're treating it like it's a – I don't know, some kind of brain cancer or something. And it's – you know, I've had concussion. I'm
yeah,
sure
but
you have.
They pulled out when it was like that though. When they treated it the way that you just said, they realized that it was much more severe
than
they thought,
but,
and they would just kind of overlook concussions and things like that. But you know, Nowinski,
I
tell you what,
but when
Nowinski did get his concussion though, he started an institute for it and did a lot of research behind it, and it's more severe than people think. So I do like the fact that they are treating concussions very, very delicately, and they are really putting a lot of time and effort in treating concussions. I definitely understand that. However, I don't know. It's just I don't know if it's the bumps. I don't know if it's just all of the, you know,
inexperience,
all the labor and all the work that they put in. You know, they wrestle, you know, 250 days a year, so maybe that takes a toll on your head. You know, as far as taking, of course, if you're taking bumps all the time, you know, it's gonna take a toll on you in some capacity. So
over time,
yeah, it's sad to see all these. It depends. I mean, I guess it depends on each you know, single, you know, case. Maybe there's someone whose, you know, head is not as, you know, their skull isn't as thick in their head.
I didn't mean
to
sound malicious by my comments, but just one of those, you know, it happens. And when you go into the ring, expect it to happen. And it stinks. It hurts. You know. But, yeah, I mean, what I'm trying, I don't like the people that get concussions and come back and try to get something out of it, you know, like years later.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, I don't have sympathy
for
that too
that.
Much.
Yeah, I can.
But
I
no,
can,
it,
I
it's a bad situation and it needs to be addressed. So I am totally on board with that.
Absolutely. I can totally understand that. Stephanie McMahon just tweeted, RIP, the one and only great Mae Young, a true pioneer and legend, has passed tonight. Long live the memory of my friend and WWE Hall of Famer. So kudos to Mae Young once again. I'm sure that she'll be in the she's already in the Hall of Fame, but I'm sure that they'll give her a nice salute come Raw.
She's listening to us right now.
Next. Absolutely, absolutely, and taking bumps still.
Taking bumps, yeah.
So, yeah, taking bumps, man. The queen of bumps, taking bumps. He did a fantastic job taking bumps. Next, we have Big Show and Jack Swagger. Before we get to Big Show and Jack Swagger, Derek, our Raw correspondent, the two other gimmicks Rikishi had in the WWE was what?
There's been a few over the years I can think of. He was the Sultan, I know that much.
He was the Sultan, yes, that's
and
one.
And he was also, if you remember, Fatu.
Fatu from?
He was Fatu.
Where, he was Fatu from where? He was Fatu in, I mean, who was Fatu?
Was it, that was his name, Fatu. That's all that matters.
Yeah, was
no,
he affiliated
he was,
with something? Or?
Well, he used to come out, and he was all about, like, world peace and unity. And
okay.
Yeah,
I'll give
he
you
loved
that.
The children.
Was a, you know, he was the make-a-difference Fatu, yes.
Yeah,
and
make a difference.
I thought you were talking about the – I thought you were talking about the when he was part, when he was head shrinker Fatu. That was.
Oh
that
yeah,
was,
head shrinker.
Yeah, but you're right though.
But,
it was to make a difference.
Yeah, of course,
Fatu, world peace, coming from the streets. That was a horrible gimmick though. That was a really really bad gimmick.
Yes, it was.
And I'm
he used
so,
to have those dudes that would come down, like those tough looking guys. They would show up in the ring apron and just kind of stand there. It was stupid.
Yeah,
but anyway, it worked.
It
was like,
horrible.
All right,
make a difference. It was such a bad gimmick, and he had like his gear was just really weird, and it's hard for me to believe that the WWE actually thought that a gimmick like that would get over. I mean,
it was the 90s.
It didn't even last that long. Yeah, but still, though. I mean, even in the 90s, even during the Attitude era,
pre-Attitude,
it was 95 when he had the Make a Difference gimmick, and it was just. I mean, he went from the Sultan, and it was the same year. I mean, it was when he was in the Head Shrinkers, and the Sultan, like, kind of in there a little bit for just a second, and well, actually, he was the make a difference. He was the Head Shrinkers, and then he was the Make a Difference Fatu, and then he became the Sultan, just repackaged to the Sultan after the Make a Difference. But it was the Make a Difference. Was just absolutely horrible, and then even during the Make a Difference gimmick, he started to gain his weight too. So, a lot of times that was a lot of that is attributed to he was involved in shooting and things like that. But it was a pretty big difference in weight that we saw then. And then after, of course, after the Sultan gimmick, we got, you know, he became Rikishi and Too Cool. And, you know, the Rikishi was his best, he was the best gimmick for sure. Head shrink
spot, yeah, the best finishing move.
The Bunzai drop? Or which?
Stink
the Bunzai
face.
Drop or the
Samoa
drop? Or, oh, the stink face? Oh, the stink face was just awful. Yeah, that was, I don't know anyone who would want to be a recipient of stink face.
Man,
I knew that I was booked to lose. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where I was heading to. If I knew that I was booked to lose against Rikishi, to win, whatever, if I knew that I'm getting a stink face, you better cut me another check with that, because that's
okay.
Rough to be a recipient.
How much
of
would
that
take?
Next,
what is your price for a stink face?
Yeah, give me some.
You're a mid card wrestler.
Give me enough money to, you know,
$500 extra.
$500. I'll take $500 for a stink face. Next question is, IRS is the father of what WWE superstar? IRS is the father of what WWE superstar? Answer at Crave Wrestling or answer on the chat room. If you're big enough, bold enough, come take some, as Booker T would say. 347-884-8452 is the number to call live. To let us know if you know that answer. IRS.
I don't think anyone does.
What?
Except for me and
well,
you.
We'll see.
I don't think anyone else does. I mean, they don't. Yeah. Try us.
Do you hear that, Crave Wrestling audience? Do you hear that, Pancakes and Power Slam show? Derek is calling you out. Calling you out, chat room. Calling you out, Twitter. Calling you out, Facebook. He says that you do not know who IRS is the father of. And so if we go to this segment, we're going to talk about Big Show and Jack Swagger. If there's no correct answer after that, we'll let Derek Bray Wyatt. Yeah, somebody beat you to it. Bray Wyatt, congratulations. Bray Wyatt is
correct.
That's
not fair. I'm not allowed to answer.
You're not, but somebody beat you to it. Bray Wyatt, the next question is, what was the name of Scott Taylor and Brian Christopher before Too Cool? What was the name of Scott Taylor and Brian Christopher before Too Cool? Speaking of that, would you admit your wrongness? As far as Scott Taylor not being Aldo Montoya, do you even want me to raise that up again? It's because I know it was pretty embarrassing for you to say that, but yeah, I don't even know if it's worth bringing up again. Are you going to admit that Scott Taylor was not Aldo Montoya?
No, he was Aldo Montoya, and he was
very good at it. He was not. I can't believe this that you would actually believe that that's true. But I'm just gonna pretend that you're joking this week. Last week you had a week.
Everybody
to
knows
yourself.
He's not Aldo Montoya.
He's not Aldo Montoya. Aldo Montoya is Justin Credible, PJ Polanco, whatever you want to call him. Justin Credible is Aldo Montoya. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I even put that on Facebook a while ago when I was having the trivia, the mask, you know, who's under the mask trivia game on Facebook, and if I'm not mistaken, I put him on there, and he was one of the people who was underneath the mask. I got to figure that out and check that out and see as far as if I'm correct or not. I'll have my administrative team confirm that as far as when he was on there. But I'm almost positive that I did put him up there and as far as Otto Montoya is concerned. I know I put the Black Scorpion up there, and I'll put the Yellow Dog. I might have intended to have him on there, but yes, absolutely. Well, okay, well, thank you very much. Here it is, the administrative team. November 28th, 2012. Who was underneath this mask? And the comments were as far as Scotty, you put Scotty Too Hottie. You put Scotty Too Hottie and Crave Wrestling staff, the Facebook administration team put nope. There you go. November 28th, you put down Scotty Too Hottie and Crave Wrestling said nope. So there you go. You've been wrong for over a year now. Over a year, almost a year and 2 months. So for you, I didn't even know that. I didn't even notice that you put Scotty Too Hottie down there for that long. But yeah, you'll it's okay though. You know, it's no big deal. You know, no hard feelings that you got that wrong. Next, we got Big Show defeating Jack Swagger, and this was for the purposes of just boosting up Big Show, you know, for Brock Lesnar. Of course, we know he's going to lose the match. The Big Show is going to lose against Brock Lesnar. So, what they're doing is they're trying to have him dominate different people, leading into Royal Rumble to make him a bigger threat against Brock Lesnar. But one thing you can't do is, you know, and I tweeted this during Raw, the handshaking, autograph signing, super smiley Big Show, you got to get rid of that. You can't have that type of Big Show going against Brock Lesnar. You can't have the super happy show. You got to have the Big Show that came out in the hoodie and the skull cap and the toboggan, the skullie. You got to have that, just the no nonsense, just straight faced, you know, just malicious in a way. Big Show, just intense, mean streaked Big Show. You got to have that type of Big Show go against Brock Lesnar, just smiley and just winding up his arm and smiling at Zeb Coulter before he put him in the KO punch. We don't need that. We don't need that leading into Brock Lesnar, because it doesn't make him look as much of a threat as when we saw him last week on Old School Raw.
Yeah, I thought Big Show looked good last night. I mean, but it's kind of hard to forget about. A few weeks ago, he's sitting there crying and bawling and whatnot. I love the dominant, massive Big Show. I mean, but he can almost make you forget about all that, just with his intensity and what he does, and just how he threw Brock Lesnar that time. I mean, that was just beautiful. And the Big Show still has that thing that really makes you want to rally around him. You can forget about all the whiny stuff. And again, you're right. He can't be that way to go up against Brock Lesnar, to even make Brock Lesnar look credible. I mean, they work together. They have to make this thing really look good. Last night and the week before, Big Show, he delivered on the toughness part. I think he's back to his old Big Show, if not better. It's good for me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know. I believe that he needs to look more intimidating to put over, to make Brock Lesnar's win look more impressive. He needs to be more intimidating. Elijah Burke was on the show last year, episode 50. Actually, and he just tweeted about Mae Young, and so he said, just heard the sad news about Mae Young. My first meeting with her and Fabulous Moolah was a true experience. Now they're together again. So, you know, I'll just tweet at Crave Wrestling, you know, with all your Mae Young tweets and wrestling tweets and what you feel about Raw and what else, you know, SmackDown, ROH, Impact Wrestling. And we'll read them live on air, just like we've been doing. So keep that going. This is became an unofficial tribute show to Mae Young, which she well deserves it. So we'll keep that going as well. The Shield defeating CM Punk and the New Age Outlaws because the New Age Outlaws walks out on CM Punk, and Roman Reigns takes the victory again. So I'm all about Roman Reigns taking the W, and beating CM Punk is good. The bigger story is the New Age Outlaws stepping out of basically the New Age Outlaws backing out of the match and leaving the match. And, of course, when I saw that, the first thing that I thought of was, okay, well, here's the build-up, the rumored match between CM Punk and Triple H. Of course, we know that the New Age Outlaws, Triple H, DX, you know, they're in cahoots. So that's why I was wondering why the New Age Outlaws were aligning themselves with CM Punk in the first place. But I will tell you this. I'm not a big fan of CM Punk versus Triple H at WrestleMania. I really don't see any. I think CM, and everybody knows that I'm not the biggest CM Punk fan at all, but I think that this kind of screws over CM Punk for WrestleMania 30. He's made it very known that he wants the main event and be, you know, in a marquee spot. And this here, CM Punk versus Triple H at WrestleMania, I don't see much of anything. I don't see show stealer. I don't see five-star match. I don't see interesting build. I don't see any of that because I believe it was Night of Champions of 2012, if I'm not mistaken. It may have been 2000 and if I'm not mistaken, it was Night of Champions. Night of Champions 2011, because 2012 is when CM Punk was still heel, having his world title reign. It was Night of Champions of 2011 when CM Punk and Triple H had their match last. And yeah, that was, you know, 2.5 years ago almost. But at the same time, I mean, that match was just not exciting at all. I really don't see much of a difference that we'll see. Triple H was, he was a kind of a tweener-ish type of person. And CM Punk was, you know, just got off of Summer of Punk in 2011. And, well, the Summer Punk was 2012. No, Summer Punk was 2011. Summer Punk was 2000. Because he won the match. CM Punk won. He beats. Because in 2012, I'm trying to figure out how he won the WWE Championship, because I know he turned heel on The Rock. And, yeah, because Summer of Punk was the feud between him and John Cena when he left and came back. Might have been. Yeah, tweet at Crave Wrestling, Summer of Punk. You know, let us know. For some reason, it just slipped our minds. But I think that Summer of Punk was in 2012, because if I'm not mistaken, he was.
It was. That's when he was champion for so long.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out how he won the title in 2012. That's slipping my mind. I'm usually good as Summer of Punk was 2011. That's what it was. It was 2011 because the Nexus was still around. Well, he was still the new Nexus was still kind of around. And Summer of Punk, he was actually still a heel, and he kind of transitioned into a babyface after that because he left, came back, and won the title in July, I believe. It was the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and his contract was up. He was going against John Cena, and so the whole big thing was, you know, his contract was up. He was about to leave, and you know, he ended up beating John Cena, winning the title. But as far as 2012 is concerned, I don't remember how he won the title in 2012, because I know that he was feuding with John Cena at the time. So, yeah, that'll be refreshed to my memory. Tweet at Crave Wrestling if you know. We just got a tweet. Summer of Punk was 2011 because in 2012 he faced Jericho at WrestleMania for the title. Yeah, we established that Summer of Punk was 2011. 2012, trying to figure out how he won the title, because in 2012, because last year he went against Taker, 2012 he went against Jericho. And I'm trying to figure out how he... Okay, I remember. He beat Alberto Del Rio at Survivor Series of 2011 because he was feuding with Cena in the summertime, Money in the Bank. He beat John Cena in July, and then August, I believe it was like a triple threat match between him, Big Show, and Cena, I believe it was, in 2000, SummerSlam of 2011, I believe that was it, 2000, because it was 2000 and Survivor Series of 2011, I know that's when he won the title. I'm drawing a blank as far as SummerSlam of 2011. What the main event was. I'm almost positive it was CM Punk versus it was a triple threat with him and John Cena, and yeah, it was. It was him, John Cena, and Big Show, SummerSlam 2011, if I'm not mistaken. No. SummerSlam 2011 was ADR and CM Punk, because that's when Kevin Nash came in. Because it was John Cena and CM Punk again, because that's when they had the two. Okay, it's refreshing again. Okay, so CM Punk, he won the title, Money in the Bank. He left. That's when they had the Raw tournament one night in July. Mysterio won, and then John Cena won for Mysterio, won the title. And then they had the two titles because CM Punk came out. That's when the Cult of Personality song debuted. And then Punk was champ and Cena was champ. So it was like an undisputed championship at SummerSlam 2011, because SummerSlam 2012 was Cena, Punk, and Show. So both Cena and Punk were champions, and then that's when Punk won. And then Alberto Del Rio came and cashed in the Money in the Bank because Kevin Nash came out and powerbombed him. So that's what it was. Okay, I see the tweet too. So, thank you for the confirmation there. So yeah, it's that's what it was. nice little journey through memory lane there with CM Punk. Of course, the spontaneity of Pancakes and Power Sam's, that's what keeps us ticking, that we can just have fun and talk wrestling. So yeah, that's what CM Punk was as far as his past couple years. Now, and to get from that to what we see now in WrestleMania, that I don't think that we're going to do much of. You know, it's a screw job with him and Triple H. I don't see much going on with that.
Yeah, I don't see much going on with that. And what really bothered me a bit, but I don't know, is that the New Age Outlaws are, you see them come back. Hey, great, the New Age Outlaws, 2 weeks in a row. And for pure wrestling fans, that's amazing. Seeing, well, okay, there was CM Punk, that makes CM Punk look good, if you're talking to someone like me. However, for them to just jump out and walk away, I was disappointed. But then I start thinking, well, they're going to be back with Triple H. This is a plot against CM Punk. So Triple H is going to go with him at WrestleMania. No, it's not going to be a show stealer. It's not going to be something to base WrestleMania around. It's not going to draw tickets. And so, I mean, what do you do with the New Age Outlaws? Yeah, they have an allegiance with Triple H. That's what they do. That's DX. But, yeah, it kind of upset me to see them walk out last night just because they're on such a high. And, yeah, I'm not a big CM Punk fan, but he seemed to appreciate his time. So, with the New Age Outlaws. And I did. And I think that the New Age Outlaws made CM Punk look better opposed to what some people would say CM Punk with New Age Outlaws look better. Nope.
Yeah, I think that it's good to see the New Age Outlaws, and they have a match against the Rhodes Brothers on SmackDown, so that'll be interesting. It's kind of weird to see, because almost every legend is a babyface, just because people have you're getting owed sympathy, feel to them.
Nostalgia.
And, they came, and case in point, Ted DiBiase was never a babyface in the WWE during his wrestling career. Now he gets cheered because he's older and he's a legend and he's a Hall of Famer. And so when you see him, you're like, oh, there's Ted DiBiase. We love Ted DiBiase. He was such a great heel. And so now he gets cheered. He was one of the best heels in WWE history. I actually had a conversation about that on Twitter. I think it was like last week. I posed the question, who was the best heel in WWE history? And the responses, most of the responses were Piper and DiBiase. But I actually gave the edge to DiBiase because DiBiase was never a babyface in the WWE during his Million Dollar Man gimmick. He didn't have a face turn or anything like that. He was heel the entire time. But Piper was a really good face and a really good heel. And so I would give the edge to DiBiase, actually. To see people cheer with him, cheer DiBiase now, I don't buy it, but kind of same with the New Age Outlaws. But they ended up being a good babyface tag team. But they were heels for a long time too, and so them being heels now is just kind of odd because we're like, okay, New Age Outlaws, don't go too far because you had that legend feel to you, old school. Now we don't want to see you too much because we'll get bored easy with you. And so hopefully, this coming SmackDown and, maybe one or two, I'm okay with them never not appearing again because they're starting to lose that old school feel to it. They're not a frequent tag team on the roster. They were an old school tag team. And so I really don't want them to overstay their welcome. And I know they're going to tie in more to the CM Punk and Triple H feud. That's the reason why they made the turn. I'm almost positive that's the reason why they made the turn. But I really don't want to see too much of them.
It worked good for Goldust. Yeah.
Yeah, because he wrestled with them 16 years ago. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying it worked for Goldust as far as how he's, you know, he's competing with all the new guys. So why not the New Age Outlaws?
Yeah, well, it works. Well, it works for Goldust because he's in the best shape of his life, and yeah,
so
he's 44 years old. He's 50. Billy Gunn is 50 years old, and he's still in good shape. Yes, but he's dying his hair now. Yes, Sting's 50. He'll be 55 in a couple months, actually. But Sting's different. Sting's a legend. Sting's a Hall of Famer.
Of
Sting's one of the best. Sting's one of the best champions of all time. Billy Gunn is a mid-carder at best, and he was in a good tag team during the Attitude Era. But that's as much as you'll get with Billy Gunn. So, you know, I really don't think that there's. Of course, there's no comparison with Billy Gunn and Sting. I mean, come on now. Next, we have AJ and Tamina. Before we get to that, there's a good question here on Twitter that I'm going to address. But before that, I'm going to ask another question because no one got the correct answer with what's the name of Scott Taylor and Brian Christopher before Too Cool. They were too much. And the next question is, Taka Michinoku and Funaki went by what name? Don't say anything yet, Derek. Twitter, chat room, they get first dibs. Next, we have AJ and Tamina defeating the Funkadactyls. I'm going to address this this question here on Twitter, though. It's a pretty good question I'm going to address after we talk about Raw. We'll talk about a little bit more into that, and then we'll go to Flavor of the Week because it merits a discussion here. AJ and Tamina defeating the Funkadactyls, and then, you know, Naomi gets the best of AJ. I'm totally fine if they push Naomi. She's one of my favorite divas. She's very athletic, but just this AJ and Tamina thing, I'm getting bored with it. I don't think AJ's doing the best that. I don't really think she's reviving the Divas division like it should be.
Well, no, it's not. The Divas division, it's a disgrace. I've been saying that for so long now. AJ, to me, I always thought was the cream of the crop, but really not the cream of what crop? Nope, not a Divas fan. They look great, but their skills, their booking, it's dismal at best.
Yeah. On a better note, Ultimate Warrior is inducted as the first person that is named as an inductee into the 2014 Hall of Fame. I saw this coming, especially with the WWE 2K14 deal and being featured on the game. And you know, I saw this coming. Do we see some type of WrestleMania 30? Appearance, involvement, I am totally fine if WrestleMania 30 is nostalgic and old school. They're even considering inducting the main event of WrestleMania into the Hall of Fame. So that would make Hogan, Piper, Orton, and Snuka. Orton, Piper, Hogan, Snuka. Two-time Hall of Famers, so like Ric Flair is. And so, you know, of course you got Orndorff and Mr. T. They're thinking about, you know, there's been a lot of rumors of putting the WrestleMania 1 main event in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how I feel about that, but they're going nostalgic. They're going to bring back some old names, 30 years of WrestleMania. I'm okay with it. It's you know, when it's done properly, as a traditionalist, as an old-school wrestling fan, I like to see that nostalgia. I'm going to mark out. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to mark out maybe not as much as I did 20 years ago, you know, 20, 25 years ago. But I want to mark out when Hulk Hogan's music come on, The Real American. I'm going to probably have a mark out moment inside. I don't think I'll just get up and scream or anything like that. But it's going to feel good to see Hulk Hogan back in the WWE. And it has been reported that he is just about he's signing basically as we he's basically about to get the pen and sign right now. There's rumors that he signed. It hasn't been reported yet. You know, I guess it's just about confirmed that he's signed or in the process of inking the deal. You know, as today or tomorrow. So we'll see Hulk Hogan. It's basically a lock that we'll see Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 30. And so the Ultimate Warrior, I don't know if, you know, I don't know. As far as involving him in WrestleMania in some capacity, I want to see it. I want to see. I know the run is going to be much slower than it was back in 1990. However, the electric music, the run, the paint, the wrestling gear, all of that, I would love to see it once again.
Oh yeah, he'll probably walk to the ring. He's a legend. He doesn't have to run for anybody now. And just for the fact when you hear that music,
that would be horrible.
It would
be horrible
fine.
If he walked to the ring.
If he ran, I mean, that's great, but I'm just saying he's a legend. He can take his time. Everybody just wants to watch him just go to the ring one more time, soak
it in.
He'll
get booed if he walked to the ring.
Well, I mean, he'll get booed by the back office just for the fact that he's there probably, but, you know, it would be fun. I'll mark out as well. Yeah, I mean, the Ultimate Warrior, he was a big part of my liking wrestling. And he's kind of an afterthought when you think about it. But still, I mean, just his character alone, I mean, he was a comic book character. I mean, I enjoyed the Ultimate Warrior. He was great.
Yeah. I did, too.
In his own right.
I'm a big Ultimate Warrior fan. Now they have the DVD, the Self-Destruction Ultimate Warrior and all those things, you know, and definitely wasn't on good terms with the WWE for a long time. But, I mean, we've seen it many times. We've seen it with Hogan. We've seen it with Bret Hart. You know, never say never when it comes to mending with Vince McMahon and WWE. Never say never because we've seen many – and Brock Lesnar, I mean, he sued. You know, there was a lawsuit with Brock Lesnar and WWE, and he's on the payroll again. So, you know, you never know. When it comes to the WWE, we're just waiting for that last person to mend, you know, the late Randy Savage, his family to go ahead and let him in that Hall of Fame because he definitely deserves it. I can definitely see Paul Bearer going into the Hall of Fame this year as well. I can see him going in. And as far as a couple other people, I can see Jake Roberts going in there too. So it should be a really
Randy
good
Savage.
Hall of Fame this year.
Is Dino Bravo in there yet?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. No Dino Bravo. I don't think Dino Bravo should be in the Hall of Fame, though. I don't. He had a decent career. As he was a decent heel.
Yeah.
But
I was just asking. I don't think it,
you know. Yeah, we had that thumbs up or down series. I have to go back in the archives and see if we mentioned Dino Bravo. But no, Dino Bravo does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Kofi Kingston defeats Randy Orton, Derek. Can you believe that? What in the world is that all about?
Speechless.
Kofi Kingston is a mid-carder at best, losing more matches than he has won the past year. Well, really his career. But clean win. I mean, nobody came out. There weren't any distractions. He cleanly pinned the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Now, I thought that was the funniest part of the entire night, that somehow Randy Orton was booked to lose a match in the middle of the show to Kofi Kingston out of anyone. This guy doesn't have an impressive win-loss record, to say the least. And so that is so confusing to me. I'm trying to hold on as much as I can of liking Kofi Kingston. It's starting to fade fast. But the little bit I have of liking Kofi Kingston, I was happy because back in 2009, he could have had his breakout year and when he was feuding with Randy Orton, but that was, you know, that came to a halt. But Kofi Kingston has been just not he shouldn't be impressed with his win-loss record. And to beat Randy Orton, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, I really don't know how that looks on a grander scale as far as Randy Orton is concerned.
Yeah. And I can see why they did that whole spontaneity on a Monday Night Raw. I mean, it's not going to amount to anything. I mean, everyone's going to forget about it probably eventually. I mean, it's not – the only thing it's meant to do was to make Randy Orton look like a fool in front of Stephanie and Triple H. You're always going to bring that up. I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't think it really benefited Kofi Kingston as much as it did just to propel the story of Randy Orton.
Yeah. Goldust and Cody Rhodes defeats Ryback. I mean, we pretty much saw that coming. You know, hey, the good tag team division, and it's one of the best that it's been in a number of years. And then after that, we had Alberto Del Rio defeating Rey Mysterio. I have no idea why they're still continuing to try to push Alberto Del Rio and why he's keep calling out Batista. I mean, what is this going to lead to, an Alberto Del Rio versus Batista match at WrestleMania or Elimination Chamber? No, it's not going to happen. The only thing I can see come from this is for Alberto Del Rio and Batista to have some type of mini feud and both of them be included in the Elimination Chamber match. I still don't know why they're holding on to Alberto Del Rio. He's a mid-carder. He was never a top guy, and he could have been in the beginning, and when he first debuted, but he's never really been a top guy. They've thrust him in, you know, in our faces basically, but he just does not work as a top guy. And this calling out with Batista, I mean, the best thing I can see is this leading to Batista just, you know, eliminating him, aiming for him and eliminating him at the Royal Rumble, and maybe just defeating him and squashing him on a Raw after the Royal Rumble or something today. I don't see this going far at all.
It's not going to go far. That makes no sense. I'm with you. Why do they keep pushing this Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio and blah, blah, blah? But really, let's get on. Why is Batista, of all people, I mean, this huge, massive mammal, what's he going to do with Alberto Del Rio? It's going to be a squash match, or at least it should be. It's ridiculous. I don't know what they're building with it, if anything. I don't know. I'm at a loss for a word. I don't really have to say.
I agree. I don't see anything going from that as well. The Usos defeats, Taka Michinoku and Funaki win by what name, Derek?
Kai and Tai,
of course. And it looks like we're about to have a correct answer here. All right, so finally we have the Usos defeating Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt. Now, I'm a big fan of the Usos, and I'm happy that they won. But the bigger story is Daniel Bryan, after joining the Wyatt family for 2 weeks, he makes his turn. He does it. He says, I can't take it anymore, and he leaves, you know, the Wyatt family and returns back to his old Daniel Bryan. It only took him 2 weeks, and that was very interesting. But I tell you what, though, that crowd in Providence, Rhode Island was phenomenal for Daniel Bryan. I mean, he had like Dolph Ziggler pops when he made that turn in Bray Wyatt. Now, this is a bit of a resurgence for Daniel Bryan, but like I said, if this just leads to a Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt match, it's a bust. It's a failure if it just leads to that. If it leads to a Royal Rumble win, but we probably won't see him in Royal Rumble now because of his concussion. Again, let's hope that it's mild. But if this doesn't lead to him at least competing for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, this is the bus. This whole storyline's a bus if it doesn't lead to that.
I totally agree. I mean, I think it's a bus, period, that they even put the two together. And it's not going to help Wyatt, and it's not going to help Daniel Bryan. And, he's going to go back to his old self. That's great because that worked a lot better for him. I mean, it took the WWE 2 weeks to realize that. 2 weeks to realize that this was a toilet.
Yeah, 2 weeks too long. All right, let's go to SmackDown real quick. Again, check me out. Check the SmackDown reviews and the Impact Wrestling debuts on wrestling.com. Every week we just get wonderful reception to those articles, the Impact Wrestling and SmackDown. Check them out on wrestling.com. Before we get to the Flavor of the Week, I want to address a question on the – I would say a little bit more about Impact Wrestling and SmackDown, but we're a little pressed for time. And I do want to address this question that was sent by Twitter. The question is, does WrestleMania close with a title match? And I think that's a great question. And last year was Rock and Cena, and that was a title match. The year before that was Rock and Cena without neither of them had the titles. That was in 2012. 2011 was The Miz and Cena, so that was for a title. In 2010 was The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, and that was a non-title. So does it close with a title match? I don't know. I mean, because the thing is, if Randy Orton keeps – if you want to make 30 just huge and big and massive, does Randy Orton versus the Royal Rumble winner, does that have enough luster? Does that have enough magnitude to close the biggest pay-per-view of the entire WWE history, WrestleMania 30? If I don't see Randy Orton winning. I don't see John Cena winning a third Royal Rumble. I really hope that doesn't happen. But John Cena is going against Randy Orton at the Royal Rumble. John Cena might win. So if John Cena wins, who wins the Royal Rumble? So if Cena's involved in the main event at WrestleMania 30, as much as people know, I don't, you know, I'm not a Cena fan, but I give him respect. He's, you know, he's basically, you know, planted his, you know, shoe print in the WWE as being the poster boy. But if Cena's involved, okay, I'm cool with that being a title match. But if Randy Orton's involved, I don't see big glamour glitz feel to that. So if Randy Orton is champion, who closes? And I'm thinking, you know, the names that comes up is Brock Lesnar. Who would he be fighting? Probably The Undertaker. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, does that close? I'm cool with Brock Lesnar and Undertaker closing. That would be sufficient. John Cena against Randy Orton again? No, I wouldn't have that close. John Cena against Daniel Bryan possibly? I would have that close. So it's kind of up in the air. I think it's a great question. You know, chat room or Twitter, let us know your thoughts. Does the title match close WrestleMania? Because I just said, and basically on the past few years, 2010 and 2012, two of the past four WrestleManias were the main events were non-title. They weren't for the championship. So I don't know. It's a really good question. Again, if Randy Orton is involved, if Randy Orton is still champion by WrestleMania, I don't see that in the main event. But if he's not champ, if John Cena is, I think his name is big enough to main event. Randy Orton, I don't think Randy Orton's name is big enough to main event WrestleMania 30. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, I think if they do plan on that, if they do plan on Lesnar and Taker, I can see that main eventing.
That would be a beautiful main event. That would be. Very good, Chris Featherstone. He called it here first, Pancakes and Power Slams, 347-84-452. Undertaker and Batista headlining, did I say Batista? He doesn't deserve to be there.
You did say Batista. They already headlined WrestleMania back in 2000.
Yeah, I was a bust. Taker and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah. I think it would be them two. You know, they would be a good main event for WrestleMania. But Randy Orton, again, if he main events, I don't think. Wait, what do you think? Do you think that Randy Orton is a big enough name to main event WrestleMania 30?
No, not at all. No way. I mean, it would be like WrestleMania would be like the last three or four pay-per-views. I mean, it would be garbage. I mean, hey, let's go to BW3 and watch it. I'm not going to pay for it.
I can see Randy Orton. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Good question on chat room. Have you discussed the WWE? Good question in the chat room. Have you discussed the WWE Network? No, we haven't discussed the WWE Network yet. I mean, it's not really.
It does
pose a question. Real quick, yeah, they just launched it last week. I'm going to say a little bit about the WWE Network, 30, 45 seconds. I think it's a good concept. I think it's a good idea. But, I mean, $9.99 a month, I'm cool with that. But essentially, it's going to – we report on wrestling.com as far as the cable companies, you know, even consider pulling the plug and not being happy with the WWE Network because of the fact that all of the pay-per-views are going to be shown for $9.99 a month. However, it's not going to be televised. It's, you know, you have to get it through your smartphone or your tablet. So essentially, you're going to be watching pay-per-views on your phone or your tablet for $10 a month. Yeah, you can do the HDMI thing, but you know, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to pan out to be as good as it did. And then when you have the minimum, good call on that in chat room, minimum of a 6 month subscription. So I don't know if it's going to pan out. I wish the best. I'm all for it. I hope it works. But I don't necessarily know if it'll work out. Come in a year from now, I don't know if they'll be able to count their losses and stride with WrestleMania being a part of the $9.99 deal. I mean, yikes. Yeah, that's saying a lot right there. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I'm not sold on it, on what they're doing with it yet, just because of the pay-per-views and it just not being it's a network, but it's not a network on TV. So if this was a TV deal, I think it'd be great. But just, you know, smartphones and Android devices and, you know, and tablets and all that, not not
let's
subtle.
Follow up on YouTube.
Real quick, as far as far as Impact Wrestling is concerned, like I just said, you know, look at the, you know, check out the Impact review that I have every week. But I did want to mention that Magnus and AJ Styles put on a good match. It was to determine an undisputed champion, and Magnus did pull that off. So check that out. Check out the Impact Wrestling review on WrestlingInc.com. Great interaction by Twitter. Great interaction by chat room. Let's get into the flavor of the week, ladies and gentlemen. The past few weeks we have been talking about, we have been going through the entire Royal Rumble series. So now we're at 2007. We started a few weeks ago with the very first Royal Rumble, 1980, what, Derek? Real quick.
1988.
First Royal Rumble, 19. That's right, Dugan. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, as we call him, Jim Dugan, he won. Real quick, Jim Dugan comes from, that's what they used to call him in Mid-South for all of our new listeners. They called him Jim Dugan. And if I manage to get Jim Duggan here on the show, I definitely would love to talk to him as far as how he felt about them calling him Dugan. But, yeah, we talked about 88, and now we're at 2007. The past weeks we talked about all the Royal Rumbles, and now we're going to talk about 2007 to 2010 for the remaining of the show here. So, basically, the Royal Rumble, to me, again, it's one of the best pay-per-views of the year. It's actually, I mean, of course, you have the spectacle in WrestleMania, but Royal Rumble is my, other than the whole glitz and glamour of WrestleMania, Royal Rumble is my personal favorite, just because the unpredictability and just the Royal Rumble match, and it's just real fun. So it's worth spending the time talking about the entire series of the Royal Rumble. We've went through 20 years just about so far, so. We'll continue to talk about the Royal Rumble. We'll talk about 2007 here. And in the 2007 Royal Rumble, we saw the results. It was a decent Royal Rumble. It was in Shawn Michaels' hometown of San Antonio, Texas. And for some reason, we saw Mr. Kennedy at the time. He had a decent push. He went against Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship, and he lost, though. First match was the Hardys defeating Eminem for the tag team match. It wasn't for the championship. Bobby Lashley defeated Test by countout to retain the ECW World Championship. Again, I say Batista defeated Mr. Kennedy to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. John Cena defeated Umaga in a last-minute standing match for the WWE Championship, and then The Undertaker eliminated Shawn Michaels to win the Royal Rumble. And just like I said, not too long ago, headlined it against Batista at WrestleMania 23, and The Undertaker defeated Batista at WrestleMania 23. So Undertaker winning a Royal Rumble, that's always a good thing.
Hey, yeah, and The Undertaker, what was his entry? When did he come into the Royal Rumble that year?
The Undertaker was 30.
Oh, good job, 30.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah,
he was
30. It was a Royal Rumble, run of the mill. That's great. But who won the next Royal Rumble? Chris Featherstone,
the 2008 Royal Rumble was John Cena. He was injured, and he came back to last eliminate Triple H. Yeah, he tore his pectoral muscle.
Yeah.
Randy Orton. He gave him an RKO a couple months before when he was feuding with Randy Orton and RKO'd him on the table, the ring table, the announcer's table, tourist Peck, and another one of those quick recoveries from John Cena, because a lot of people didn't expect him to be in the Royal Rumble that
year. He's good
at
that.
As far as the rest, yeah, he is. I mean, hey, man, he does a fantastic job. I mean, I think he had a torn Achilles last year that he recovered from and just taped it up and kept wrestling. And of course, he tore his quad and had to have surgery. His elbow, tricep, he had to get surgery for and came back, you know, sooner than thought. So, hey, I got to give it to John Cena as far as his work ethic is concerned. He's a beast when it comes to, you know, keeping, you know, as far as his healing time is concerned. The rest of the 2008 Royal Rumble saw Ric Flair defeating MVP. It was Ric Flair's last year, so he was having, like, matches for a couple of pay-per-views. If he lost, he would retire. And, of course, I believe the next year, the month after that, Mr. Kennedy was the next person that he went against. Yeah, it was a career-threatening match against Mr. Kennedy, and he won. So he beats MVP at the Royal Rumble. He beat Mr. Kennedy at No Way Out, and then, of course, he lost against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. JBL defeated Chris Jericho by disqualification in a singles match. Edge defeated Rey Mysterio to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. And then Randy Orton defeated Jeff Hardy to retain the WWE Championship. So, 2008 Royal Rumble was some good matches. The Orton and Hardy match was good, and the Edge, all of them were pretty good actually. Rey Mysterio and Edge, and then Jericho and JBL, they were feuding because Jericho came back a couple months before that, and he was feuding JBL. So, I think. I mean, he kind of got right into the WWE Championship, or he kind of was feuded with Orton for a second, and somehow they kind of shifted a feud with him and JBL. It worked though; they had a decent match that night. It wasn't all that good, but it was decent. But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, you know, one of the biggest things was, you know, Ric Flair. That was his last year in the WWE as an active wrestler.
Ric Flair always amazes everybody. And that was 2008. Can you believe that was almost six? Well, that was 6 years ago. What am I talking about?
6 years ago.
6 years ago.
Absolutely.
2008. Wow.
Yeah,
that took place in Madison Square Garden, New York, New York. John Cena was, again, the 30th man in and won it. Just like The Undertaker did previously, 30th man and won it.
Yeah.
And with sure. Ric Flair beating Montavious, that was great.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and you're right. Two 30s. Two people who were 30, two straight years. Good stat there. And then, but the next year, Randy Orton won. He was number 8. So, also in the 2009 Royal Rumble, we had Jack Swagger defeating Matt Hardy to retain the ECW Championship. Melina defeating Beth Phoenix to win the Women's Championship. John Cena defeating JBL to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Edge defeating Jeff Hardy to win the WWE Championship. And, of course, I said Randy Orton defeating Triple H. And this is when he was with a legacy at the time, and so it was a really heated rivalry with Randy Orton and Triple H. That was the year when he went against Shane McMahon. The next year, the next pay per view, he went against Shane McMahon at the Elimination. It was No Way Out in 2009. Still, he went against Shane McMahon, and then the pay-per-view, he went against Triple H, and he RKO'd Stephanie and kissed her while she was out and handcuffed Triple H. It was a really, really intense feud between them two. and Randy Orton did a really good job as a heel then, not so much now, but he did a pretty good job as a heel then.
Yeah, it's the thing about Randy Orton is, okay, again, 2009, that was 5 years ago, and they seems like they've given Randy Orton every chance in the world to prove himself, and he's still like, oh, I'm Randy Orton, I can do this, I can do that, and he can't. He's still the mid-card, tattooed, whatever he thinks he is. Hey, he just doesn't give it a rest already. He's done. He can't do much anymore. 2009, and he was the eighth man in, and he won the Rumble. That's great. But, again, he's won the Rumble. He's been champion a few times, and he's still just a little punk that nobody likes. Kind of like him an X-Pac.
It's just a comparison there, X-Pac. No, nobody liked X-Pac. X-Pac was... They called it, you know, they even coined a term called X-Pac Heat. And X-Pac Heat is not, you know, we don't like you because you're a bad guy in wrestling. We just don't like you. And that's, we just don't like you as a person. And, yeah, X-Pac Heat was coined during the time when he was in WWE. Just, people just didn't like him. He was just annoying. And, yeah, it's really, really interesting. And it's kind of starting to, you know, Orton's starting to get some X-Pac heat here because people just don't like him. And then finally, 2010, we had Christian defeating Ezekiel Jackson to retain the ECW championship. Interesting note in 2010, all of the pre-Royal Rumble matches, they were all championship matches. Nice little stat there as well. The Miz defeated MVP to retain the United States championship. Sheamus defeated Randy Orton to keep the WWE championship. That was weird too, because we really didn't know who to root for at the time. Mickie James defeated Michelle McCool to win the women's championship. Undertaker defeated Rey Mysterio to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. And Edge, he came back from injury, and he was number 29 and won the Royal Rumble, and he ended up losing at WrestleMania to Chris Jericho, so his Royal Rumble match didn't really mean much as far. I mean, it goes in the record books, but you win the Royal Rumble to get the championship opportunity at WrestleMania, and he lost to my boy Chris Jericho, so that was a good moment for me at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Chris Jericho is not your boy; he's my boy. But Edge won, good for Edge. And
That's one thing we can agree on. We're both Jericho fans, so we can.
Jericho-holics.
Yes. Yeah, indeed.
Let's end the show in a good way.
We'll end it. Finally, you know, we not so much Sting, not so much Jim Cornette. But, we'll do Chris Jericho. Like I said, I keep saying I appreciate his mic work, but he definitely won't be anywhere, near a
he needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
In my career. I'll give you that. I guess that's a high note, too. I'll give you that. Jim Cornette, I'm okay with him being in the Hall of Fame, so... Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for continuing to listen to Pancakes and Power Slams. 94 episodes.
94!
Follow, yes, absolutely. 94 episodes. Continue to support us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Crave Wrestling. Follow me on Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone, ChrisFeatherstoneWrestling.com. Any questions, any inquiries, any sponsorships? We've worked with a lot of people, continuing to work with a lot of people, RiaWrestling.net, Wrestling Rumble. Sponsorship opportunities, hit up CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Other than that, have fun the rest of your week, and just enjoy your week of wrestling. And get ready for Batista next Monday, and have a great week. God bless. Goodbye.